Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network. Rutherford County's place to talk. We're WGNS, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11.
And we welcome you back here on WGNS, Rutherford Issues, on a Friday as we wrap up the month of March. And it looks like when it's March, if March goes out like a lion and lamb and something, I can't, do you remember that?
I have no idea. April roars in or something like it's
something like that, yeah. April showers bring May flowers. I do know that one.
Yes.
But March usually comes in like a lion and out like a lamb, or vice versa. So that's it. But anyway, we're kind of talking a bit about the upcoming month of April with Trista Pirtlebond, who is the Outreach Services Coordinator. What does CDSP stand for, by the way?
CDSP stands for Community Defined Solutions Program.
Mm.
So basically just a coordination
Of that program.
Yeah.
Well, you shared some interesting news with me about some of the things that are coming up in the month of April, and one of those being National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is the whole month of April, I guess.
It is. April is the National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and as such, we do a lot of events in the community to honor that and to bring awareness and reach out to the community and let them know where, if they have a friend or a family member that goes through something, they can turn to.
Now, it's kind of interesting that the domestic violence program and sexual assault services are grouped into one. There are similarities, but then I guess there are more non-similarities, or maybe they're not. How do you answer that question? I'm sure you get it before, have gotten it before.
We do. I mean, the domestic violence, we are a dual program. Mm-hmm. The domestic violence program started in 1986. You know, we just celebrated 25 years last year. And in the early 2000s, I believe, it was before me, there was another nonprofit here called Rape and Recovery. And the director there decided that she was wanting to retire, and so we kind of picked up that program as well and just renamed it. So, you know, we are the Domestic Violence Program and Sexual Assault Services now. When I get asked that question about how do you, you know, are they similar, are they not, I would say that violence against women is, and men too, and children, is very important to us. So it's very similar, and often you see in domestic violence situations that sex is being used as a way to perpetrate. So I'm of the opinion they fit, you know, it makes sense to me, but then again, I'm in it, you know.
Sure.
Looking from the outside in, it doesn't seem right, like you said.
But there are these are two separate programs, even though they fall under the same umbrella.
That is correct. We are two separate programs. We actually have a dedicated, in our main office on Memorial, we have a dedicated waiting area and area for, you know, office space for counselors and things like that that deal specifically with this.
Mm-hmm. Back to National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. What do you hope to achieve during the month of April with this? I mean, why have a national month of awareness about sexual assault?
Honestly, just to open a door for conversation. This is a crime, and this is a behavior that's not talked about, you know. And I think the average person, because of what we see, we perceive sexual assault as like the stranger danger, somebody in the alley and jumping out from a bush. And honestly, it's not like that. 75% of perpetrators of sexual assault are known to, the victim knows them. You know, they're someone in the family, a friend, or their neighbor, or something like that. And so it's having the conversation, you know. And I find, too, what I hope to accomplish personally in April is to educate as many people that will listen to me about what is sexual assault. You know, what happened to you was, you know, like we you know, as humans, we tend to diminish and minimize, and because that's how we cope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, This is what sexual assault is. This is what consent is, and this is where you can get help, or your loved one can get help.
I think it's one of those societal things that we hear it and just don't want to talk about it. We're talking about something that I don't want to hear. It's like when my wife and I are talking or whatever, and the kids don't want to hear it. They stick their fingers in their ear, you know, and they just don't want to listen.
Not in my backyard.
You know, I think that's what happens.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think where we're at today, as far as sexual assault, is where we were 10 years ago with domestic violence. You know, today you see a lot of media and a lot of people talking about it. Like, how could someone do that to someone they love? So I think 10 years from now, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a conversation. You know, it's going to be just like domestic violence is. People know what it is. They, you know, like, it's bad. Shouldn't happen. And I think that's, you know, we'll be much more comfortable 10 years from now.
What is the stigma? What makes us uncomfortable? Is it that three-letter word, S-E-X?
I would say that has a lot to do with it. I mean, if you think about the crime, I mean, interpersonal crimes such as, you know, domestic violence or sexual assault, I mean, they are very personal. I'm not trying to say, you know, sexual assault is worse than domestic violence. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the type of the way it's perpetrated is so much into the person. You know, it's like the psyche of the person is affected. And it's just uncomfortable to talk about. And I think you're right. That's the biggest thing. It's just, who wants to go and talk about that, you know?
Not only the awareness, but I think one thing that I have noticed that with the domestic violence program that has changed over the years, it's not only an awareness, but it's also teaching young people that it's not okay. And while we do some of that with sexual assault, it's one of those things where, you know, we don't want to hear it. And it's got to get to that point. And there has to be, you know, not only awareness, but this is not right. And our young people need to hear that as they grow up.
Absolutely.
And not when they, you know, become adults.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely correct. We get more phone calls to come and talk about teen dating violence or dating violence or than we do about sexual assault and consent. But, I mean, it's starting. I mean, you know, it picks up around this time of year, and we're hoping to have, you know, if anyone wants to call and request us to come talk, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Now, what picks up this time of the year?
People calling and saying, oh, it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Could you come and say 5-10 minutes about it? And, you know, that hardly happens. We get a lot of DV phone calls to come talk about workplace violence. What if someone's being abused? What can we do? And what is it? So,
do you think we need more programs for kids so they understand, you know, how it is to treat someone and that it is a crime and that it's not okay?
Absolutely. I think a part of every child's education, I think it should be mandated that there's a course, you know, that they receive in middle school and maybe even again in high school about what is appropriate relationships. You know, what are the boundaries? How do we set them, enforce them? What is right? What is wrong? You know, and that includes domestic violence and sexual assault, you know. And I think talking with, you're absolutely right. There needs to be a program.
It's so, with kids, their development, you know, in those early preteen and teen years, it's so individual. You know, you really just don't know when is the right time for each individual to receive that message.
Right.
Some it may go over their head. Others may know exactly what you're talking about. So how do you know that middle school is the best time for that?
Well, I mean, I've read studies that say that middle school, about even sixth to seventh grade, is a prime time because it's when they're developing and they're getting their, you know, their personality and how they interact. You know, there's science to back that up.
Yeah.
You know, but I would be of the opinion, in my non-science background, education-wise, except reading the studies, would be first in middle school, you know, having a conversation about it, and then again in high school. I mean, it's been a long time since I was in high school, but I remember, like, the school counselor coming around, like, once a month, and maybe using one of those times would be a great way to do that, to have that conversation.
You know, I remember hearing the message during the high school years, not in middle school, but our society has changed. Our kids are exposed to so much more, so much earlier, and I don't know that we've kept up with that education in terms of real life stuff that goes on.
Oh, no. I have this whole thing. I talk, you know, I could talk forever about it. It's a soapbox of mine, so to speak. But the power of words, you know, how media has influenced us and how women especially use words against other women that are completely inappropriate. But we just do it because that's how we've heard it, mm-hmm. you know. It's how it is on TV. It's how it is in the music. It's how it is. And I mean, words really do have power, even within ourselves. If, you know, we're calling ourselves something or referring to us in a negative light, subconsciously we're kind of internalizing that and believing it. Plus when we say things like that, it tells other people how we want them to treat us. And so I have a whole big thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it not only does that, but it also says to others it's okay.
Right.
That action is okay. Right. That being whatever that word is, you know.
They're validating it.
Yeah. And it kind of makes it like the norm. You know, mm-hmm. And it's really not. Trista Pirtle Bond is joining us here. She is Outreach Services Coordinator for the Domestic Violence Program and Sexual Assault Services. And April is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And with that, you've got some events coming up, some awareness campaigns, and working kind of hand-in-hand with the June Anderson Center for Women at MTSU, I think, right?
Yes, we do several projects in April. The Clothesline Project, Take Back the Night. And this year we're having an open forum about healthy sexuality. And the Clothesline Project is set up on the KUC Know at MTSU, and it's t-shirts that are on display that have been painted by survivors of sexual assault. And when, you know, we just have them up and people can go around and look at them and see that message. It's very moving, you know. And that will be set up at MTSU from 11 a.m. to 1 on Monday, April 9th and Tuesday, April 10th. Take Back the Night is an event. It's at 6 p.m. on April 17th. We'll be meeting at the KUC Knoll. They'll have speakers about sexual assault. There'll be an open mic session, and then followed by a march around campus with the candlelight vigil. It is a very moving display in support of taking a stand against sexual violence.
Is that what Take Back the Night means?
Mm-hmm. It is a national movement. Mm-hmm. A lot of places everywhere around the states and even internationally do an event similar to this. Mm-hmm. Like in Italy, they will take back and the women will wear tight pants and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, you know, if you get on there and you start Googling it, you're going to find a lot of interesting things and ways that we can stand up against that. But that's absolutely right. Take Back the Night. We're taking it back, you know. Getting that power back.
There you go. So all of this information is on your website, I know. And by the way, looks nice. New website, or it looks different.
We've been making some tweaks. It's been about the it's looked about the same for about a year, but now we're getting to user friendly and going in and changing some things. Like you can get our volunteer application on there and. And our brochures are available for download. So if you can't get into the office, you can get that there. So.
Well, I noticed some different things on there, and it looks like some things in different places, and just trying to move a few things around, new information.
Yes, we're trying to make it user-friendly.
There you go. So. Talk a little bit about the Bowl Over Sexual Assault, which this has kind of become a really fun event.
Oh, it is so much fun. I'm so excited. Again, this year, we're having our third annual, it's the third annual Bowl Over Sexual Assault, and we're having it, we do it on a Sunday afternoon, and this year is Sunday, April 22nd, Earth Day. It's from 2 to 4, and it's at Lane Trains and Automobiles. What it is, you can buy a ticket for $12, and this $12 includes 2 hours of unlimited bowling and shoes from 2 to 4. And while this bowling is going on, there's a silent auction. We have some great community vendors and businesses around here that have donated some awesome things. And so that will be going on. There'll be door prizes. And, you know, if you're interested in getting tickets, we have to sell the tickets before we can request more. Just please give us a call, 896-7377. And you can just ask for someone who can sell you bowling tickets. So, and the good thing about these tickets, too, is that they actually are good for 30 days after the event day. So anytime except on a Friday or Saturday night, you can take that $12 ticket and like Thursday night, and you can go bowl two games.
Oh, okay.
And it includes everything. So Lanes Trains and Automobiles is a great, great business, and they are so nice and generous to us and in doing that.
That is April the 22nd.
Yes, Sunday, April 22nd from 2 to 4.
Very good. Anything else in the month of April we need to know about?
Oh, yes. They would like, you know, be very upset with me if I forgot this. next Friday, Good Friday, I think that's April the 6th, mm-hmm. and we are having our annual yard sale, which is held at Betty Beckwith's house, and it is from the crack of dawn until about 3 p.m., and we have like a year's worth of things people have donated that we set back for this yard sale, and we tell people, you know, this is what we're saving it for, and you will come and get some steals, let me tell you. And people love it. People start showing up on Thursday night saying, hey, please let me buy this. And we're like, no, you know. So
have to be here at the crack of dawn.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, we'd love to see you out there. We're going to have some special little keychains, I think, being made by some of our interns that they're going to be selling too. But it's a great way to come get a deal. And it's at 4447 Shelbyville Highway. I'm hoping I'm getting that number right.
So just head down, I guess that's 231 between here and Shelbyville. So that's Shelbyville Highway.
Is it Christiana that's out that way? Mm-hmm. I think it's her house is right after or right before Christiana Middle or elementary school. Something.
And it's right on the highway, so you can't miss it.
Yes, it's right on the highway. I'm sure you'll see tons of cars, and hopefully we'll have some big signs. You know, I don't think we'll have anybody out there flipping them or anything, but... 4447 Shelbyville Highway.
Well, when the interns get finished with the keychains, have a little contest and see if they can flip a sign.
I don't want to be responsible for that, Brian.
You may find it in the middle of the highway out there. So all of that's great stuff. How can we find more information? And I know that there's always a need for various things at the shelter. I mean, you're talking about anything from diapers to whatnot.
Oh, diapers are always important to us. Right now, currently, we really need some thermometers and thermometer covers and children's Tylenol. And that is just because, you know, how this the sickness and the mm-hmm. weather and everything. We have a lot of kids in the shelter now, and we are going through those so quickly. And I'm told that you can buy those at the Dollar Tree for like a dollar, and they work just fine, those thermometers and thermometer covers.
Oh, great. And, you know, anything to clean, like the Lysol and
yes.
all that stuff.
Yes, Kleenexes, please. when I go over to the shelter now, I kind of walk around and, like, try not to touch any, you know, because it's just kids, you know.
Yes.
I don't have kids personally, but, you know.
And that's when you're most susceptible to it, yeah. you know. Don't forget dvpshelter.org. You can find a lot of information there. The domestic violence crisis line number 896-2012 and the sexual assault crisis line 494-9262. And Miss Trista, I'm a little sad today, though. This is our last conversation, isn't it?
It is. I got a new job.
You're moving back closer to home.
I am. I'll be working closer to home and working for Department of Children's Services.
Well, good luck in your future endeavors, and tell whoever is your fill-in that we've got a great example here. They can go online and download and listen to your entire broadcast here today. And tell them that this is the model of how it should be done.
Kara, are you listening?
Well, I'm sure that Kara will do a great job, but we certainly appreciate the great job that you have done to bring awareness, and good luck again.
Thank you, Brian. I'll miss you.
Trista Pertlebond joining us here in studio. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back to wrap it all up in a moment.